Did you have a rough time waking up this morning, buddy?
Who?
You.
No, I.
Oh, you were pretty, you had a high number when you left my house last night.
What? I don't remember that.
Exactly.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I ain't drunk today, but I was last night. So let's get started with today's show. Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason cannot join us for the show. So, Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am at a zero right now, but I am, I was high on the Saints last night. Sorry. Was that your line, James?
Yeah.
Good. I finally stole one from you. Big win last night, but a lot of possible ramifications, which we will, I'm sure, get into.
That's right. And James, welcome to the show. What's your number? Speaking of stealing lines.
Well, I did have a beer at lunchtime today, celebrating a little promotion at work. So went out for a beer with my manager at lunchtime to kind of celebrate, which was good. But yeah, very much like Scott, I was saying to him before we started recording, I didn't get to sleep until about 3:30 a.m. last night because I just couldn't sleep. I was so, adrenaline was just piling through, which was good because I haven't felt like that after a Saints regular season game for a while.
Good deal. And Ben, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Zero. Yeah, very boring. I know it's evening over here and we should be drinking, but it's Monday night, so zero for me.
All right. And so speaking of zero numbers, so last week we had Andrew, my son, on the show. This week, we have his brother, my son too, Jacob. Welcome to the show, Jake. Because Jake got jealous and felt like he needed a chance to be on the show. So, Jake, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Zero.
A man of many words.
You need to let it be known that Jake is not, like, the Saints are like his third team.
Yeah, I don't know what went wrong with him, but he likes, for some reason, San Francisco, Buffalo, and the Saints. Do you like the Saints at all? This is a podcast. You can't nod your head. You have to say.
I like Troutman.
He likes Troutman.
Someone's got to.
He blocked really well. And then yeah. Gunn, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a zero. Can you see my eyes?
Yes.
You
see my eyes
tonight? Today. Yeah. You like that? Did that for you. Get my eyes open for you today, Jeff.
That's why he's wearing a headband. It pulls the skin back. So
that's right. Yeah. Open. Yeah. Wearing a headband. Right. It's a very good point. I don't have a number. And I can't stay the whole time. I've got a couple of very important points that I want to make sure that get put out there. But I'm excited, man. It's like I woke up this morning feeling like, you know, like when I used to be a hardcore boozer, sometimes you'd wake up the next morning and you'd go, oh, man, something really bad happened yesterday. And that's how I felt this morning. With Jameis going down, you know, it's like, oh shit, that really happened yesterday. That happened. We don't have a quarterback anymore. And so it's been a little, you know, I mean, I've been kind of sad all day about Jameis.
Yeah, it's sad. I think that's the best word for it. Like we were all actually, it shows how much, whether you were critiquing him harshly all season, whether you didn't care about his interviews or not, no matter what, I think the way we all feel with him getting hurt like this shows that it truly was just evaluating talent. Everybody likes the guy. Everybody loves the guy. He's a lovable guy. And
Scott was celebrating deep down.
And that's our guy, you know, that's so again, like I will say, I'm going to say something about the instant reaction show. I listened to it. I was only able to join for a little while because Scott's little Halloween party there. That, like, I know, Ben, you were trying to keep everybody focused on reacting to the game, and maybe the whole Jameis Winston injury took away from that, but there was very little game in the instant reaction show and more hypothetical, forward looking, backward looking, whatever. So we're going to bring back for this episode game recap, and we're going to talk about the game. And of course, the
criticizing my show, you bastard.
Huh? Well, you shouldn't have said what you said when we started. So let's get into some game recap. So Jameis Winston got hurt. Let's talk about how that's going to impact the future of the Saints.
Can I share with you my pet peeve of what's happening today? And I had a buddy text me earlier, somebody outside of our little group. And he goes, the Twitter
you
is
have
gonna...
other friends?
I do. I basically have a couple other friends that talk Saints with. But
better than me.
I know. I should bring them into our group. But anyway, he said that Saints Twitter is going to be insufferable for the next couple weeks. Yeah. And he's right. I mean, this speculation of, oh, we should go, oh, trade for, oh, go get, oh, like I joked last night that we should bring back John Forcade. That's my sense of humor, saying all of these assholes are going to be running around going, oh, we need to, oh, we need to bring, oh, we need to go get, oh, we need to. And look, let's draw a real clear line of demarcation here. For fans, that's one thing. That's what we do. That's what fans do. Fans joke around and speculate and what if, and that's part of being a fan base. That's part of being a fan. That's part of loving a team. When you've got alleged journalists out there going, you know, oh, we should just go get, oh, we, that's just silly. Look, call this one out of retirement. Do this. Dude, that's silly. It's stop. You've got 25 hours of trade deadline remaining. You got 25 hours and trade deadline's open. Okay. Actually 24 as of right now, maybe 23. Other than that, it's week 9 of an 18-week season. You're not bringing in anybody new. And so that talk, look, fans are going to do it. That's one thing. That's what fans do. Okay. But for journalists to be doing it, y'all are embarrassing. It's really, really embarrassing.
We've actually got three. I think we've got, going into the season, we had really did have a strong quarterback room in depth when you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's
what Ian Book showed glimpses in preseason. Simeon has played as a starter in the league. Taysom's Taysom. And we had Jameis. You know, that's.
We had four warm bodies in a QB room is what we had. None of them we had any expectations for this season. So to say we had a strong QB room is a bit of a stretch, I think.
When I say strong, I mean like depth. Not like obviously starter depth, but
I mean it's better than having Geno
Smith. But it's better than having Geno Smith. If you have Trevor Siemian as your third string quarterback, that's not a bad position to be in.
Well, I think you're right, Ben, in that it's a credit to the Saints. Like, Trevor Siemian has started something like 21 games in the NFL, and he's essentially our third string quarterback. So that's not a bad place to be. You know, I mean, the question, rather than everybody running around and go, ooh, is Trent Dilfer coming out of retirement? Can we go get Cam Newton? Rather than people running around with that nonsense, really, the conversation is going to be, is it going to be Trevor Siemian or is it going to be Taysom Hill? And what's
and
the
if you were the coach, take? What would you do? Because Taysom battled Jameis for the starting job all summer, which would stand to reason that it would be Taysom. But at the same time, if you put Taysom in that starting role, you can't use Taysom as the gadget, whatever you were. Well, sorry, we can't say gadget as the role that he's got plays designed for him to play.
I'm glad you asked. I'm going to answer, and I'm going to get out of everybody's way. If it were me, I'd go, and this is fun because to me, this is more fun and more real than go, oh, what if we signed Jake Plummer? What if we
snake?
What if we called Billy Joe Hobert? it's more fun to go, okay, now, you know, because partly in my own head as a fan, I've wavered back and forth over the last 24 hours.
And Bobby Hebert is going to walk down from the booth.
That's a better option than some I've heard. I feel like this defense is so strong, and this offensive line is good even when it's injured. And we've got Alvin Kamara, and we've got Mark Ingram, and we've got nobody to catch the ball. Let's just embrace, full-on embrace, not as hardcore as when we played Denver last year and they didn't have any quarterbacks and we, like, threw the ball two or three times the entire game. But let's embrace a Taysom at quarterback, rush-heavy offense. Ball control, ball control, ball control. Run, 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 and then a little bit of play action and hit him over the top to some speedsters that we have. I think that's the path forward.
I last night was convinced that it would be Taysom Hill that would start once cleared. But the more today has gone on, the more I'm thinking that with the game we've got coming up this week. Now, look, you don't want to overlook division rival Falcons and stuff like that, but they're beat up. They've got players missing. I think you roll with Trevor Siemian this week just to see what you've got. Just to see what you've got.
I agree.
I don't think that's a bad answer. I mean, I don't think either option is wrong. You know, the only thing that's wrong is thinking we're going to go get someone and train them on our playbook and them ready. That's the only thing that's wrong. You know, but
it's not a running back that you could just say, all right, we got a dive play, we got a pitch play, you know.
Yeah. You're not bringing back a guy that spent 7 years with us and then went away and then came back. We got him on a Thursday and he can play Sunday. That's Mark Ingram. Like, that's not going to happen with a quarterback.
Right.
No.
But I like, and I think I agree with your point, Gunn, about like, okay, fans can be stupid. It's okay. That's part of being the fan most of the time. But when credentialed journalists are acting like this, I mean, it's really making it hard to respect our official coverage, you know? I mean,
and God bless
the whole like Cam Newton possibility or whoever else, or Philip Rivers possibility. I think I saw like all of those things. That's things for like our podcast to joke about. That's not things for the credentialed media to actually suggest. So that fans will be like, oh, this is a – so now, you know, your grandpa who follows WWL is going to come out and be like, well, I heard they were going to get Cam Newton.
But, Jeff, you know what's sad is you're seeing everybody from guys that USA Today pays $16,000 a year to do their wire whatever all the way to, like, the top NFL guy for the Athletic. It's like it's all the way from like the bottom of the bottom to the top of the top. And I mean, I saw like one, like not local Athletic, like NFL macro coverage, the Athletic's top NFL writer, not one of our local folks, go, here's what, you know, are the Saints going to go get? And it's like, you don't understand football that well, do you?
But Gunn, you know why they're reporting this way? This is a 21st century reporting now. It's to generate clicks. People say, oh, Philip Rivers, and they click on it. You're and that's right. How they get paid. It's a new way of reporting this day with 21st century technology.
There's nothing that Meta is going to do about it.
Right. It's not actual news. If there's speculation to be, there's a whole pile of lots of fun speculation that we can have with the hand that we're dealt without having to invent all of this nonsense.
It's just clickbait. It's all it is.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is. And it's just, it's almost like the media's, you know, has always railed against tabloid journalism. And that's exactly what they've become, whether it's in sports, whether it's in politics, whatever, they've become tabloid journalists, just trying to get clicks, trying to be the first to quote unquote break a story, you know. Oh, well, the Saints might go get Philip Rivers. And for some oddball reason they did, they could be like, ooh, I called it. I'm the one that said it first.
It's you like know? The mock draft syndrome where I put out 500 mock drafts.
Yeah. And then maybe I'll get one of them right, you know? Kind of think of throw enough crap at the wall, eventually something's going to stick.
I'm going to name every available quarterback that has played for the past 20 years so that I can say I was right.
That's literally what these assholes are doing.
Yeah. And if the Saints were to sign somebody, the only legitimate person they could sign that could pick up the playbook that quick would be Breeze. And it took so much for him to come back last year, so much training, so much whatever, and he still was hurt all
he's
year.
He's not in shape.
He's not going to do it.
What's funny, though.
And you think he's going to mess up the hair plugs with a helmet?
It's funny that you say that, because he is legitimately the closest thing to a sane option. But it's crazy as it sounds. He's the closest thing to, like, you know, what could logistically make sense, even though it's completely insane.
Right.
I mean, for sheer entertainment value, I would love to see it happen. But there's no way he's going to do that.
But, you know, you got to think, like, Drew's sitting over there going, my God, look at this defense. I never had a defense
thing. If Breeze comes back, you lose your deep threat passing game.
We don't have one now. Me and James were talking about this before. When's the last time you've seen Taysom throw a deep ball that didn't look like a punt? That was accurate.
Oh, okay. You're talking about now. We don't have no sense of bringing up
Winston. You know, if you're going by guns thing where we're going to become a running team, why can't Breeze hand the ball off
and throw him his other Super Bowl? I'm starting to get behind this idea, y'all.
it makes more sense than a lot of the other ideas that have been put out there.
Scott, what did you say about Nick Saban on the Tigers then? You got to make him say no. You got to at least pick up the phone and call.
You have to pick up the phone call and you have to make him tell you no.
Well, he was asked about it, wasn't he, on Football Night America last night? He picked up his phone, looked, and he went, "No, my phone's not ringing."
He didn't say no. He didn't say no.
He did. He literally said no. He said the word no.
If I were bookmaking this, if I were putting odds on this, honestly, the lowest odds would be I'd have Breeze coming back higher, like lower odds. Than
Cam Newton,
all of this other nonsense. Yeah, I really would.
Yeah, I think so.
The playbook is part of Breeze complicated for anyone to come in and learn.
Yeah, yeah. Does part of Breeze never got to say goodbye in front of a full dome crowd?
Even if he suited up as a gimmick, as a PR, as a something like I could almost see it, but. I don't know, though. He might not be able to get out of his contract with NBC.
I doubt that. I mean, I think he probably
NBC would gladly freeze it, or like, you know.
Jason Witten did that.
Yeah. And they like that because all he's doing now is he's going and putting more prestige on his name.
Okay.
For when he comes back.
Especially when he's got second ring.
Sounds to me very much like Jeff is fully on board with this now.
We've talked.
Fantasy football, if I'm building a Madden, I'm doing that.
It wasn't for those damn hair plugs.
This is the difference between us and national media. We're allowed to do this. This is us. We're fans. We can do this.
I tell you, if someone in the local or national media had an honest discussion about the Breeze option as opposed to throwing out Cam Newton and Philip Rivers, I would probably respect them more.
I think I'd rather have Andrew Luck than Cam, you weigh it out. Like, here's what would happen. Here's the reality of it. And even if you finished it with,
it's probably not.
But it's still not going to happen, folks. Right. So don't get your hopes up.
Like, I could see an Underhill article like that.
He did talk about it on his podcast last night, and his instant reaction. He did mention it very briefly, but just
other instant reaction shows.
Yeah.
Stop advertising it, James. Fuck's sake.
I listen to other Saints podcasts. What can I say?
Wait, there's other Saints podcasts?
You know the other podcasts you can get by subscribing to the Dome Patrol podcast?
The BS and Beer podcast.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I'm allowed to talk about that one, right?
Yes.
But Underhill was asked by his host, you know, Breeze, and he just laughed and was like, nah, not happening. Not happening. Yeah.
All right, other things about the game. So,
game recap.
The That's right.
Just, when I'm you
controlling
said this
our game recap about as well as Ben did last night.
You see? It's not so easy, is it?
You have a point? Jake has a point? No, he doesn't. All right. I got to tell you. So I think somebody mentioned on the instant reaction. I think it's worth bringing up. But Kevin White's reception, like that felt good to see as well. Like it, I didn't like it's been what'd they say? 3 years since he's had a reception in the NFL. 18. And yeah. You saw how the team was excited for him, how he was excited. I mean, that's just something worth celebrating for him.
So funny, isn't it? It's just funny.
I mean, and like Trevor Siemian was like, look, ain't nobody know me. And for anybody, all you other unknowns, we're about to shine. And it's almost like he purposefully selected to throw the ball to the people that he did.
If you think about it, Simeon's probably worked with him more than the ones.
Yeah.
Oh.
In practice.
Good point.
I just think Garrett Griffin had a breakout game last night.
Yeah. Yeah. They have the
he
trust.
He caught one. And the other guy, who's the other guy that threw the touch that caught the touchdown?
Armor.
Yeah. I mean, these are all guys. So here's my
question. Have those guys been on the field all year with Jameis as quarterback? Or did they say, like, well, if Simeon's in, let's put his guys in? Because,
maybe
the
so.
Griffin. Griffin
was finding
been...
people open all day, where Jameis has had many games where he wasn't finding people open. So either Jameis didn't seize people open, or Trevor threw people open. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like maybe there's something there.
I think that he goes through his progressions a little bit differently than Jameis does. I think that to answer your question, Griffin's been with the team since week one. We really haven't seen him. Armo's been with the team since the preseason. But, you know, how often are we using fullbacks?
And granted, Tampa's secondary is kind of beat up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great throw to White as well, though.
It was a very nice throw to White.
It was a really good throw to White as well. Put it where only he could catch it. It wasn't out in front of him. It was in stride.
And let's be honest. Let's be fair against Simeon, too. He had a legit interception that he threw that we got back because of a roughing the passer, and he had a second that very well should have been a pick, and the guy just dropped it.
Yeah,
this is true. Know?
And so well, and I know you were real high on Simeon yesterday. I don't know he's the answer.
He'll be a game manager. He will be the simple game manager.
Well, the point I was making yesterday was. I am a little, my concern is more if Trevor plays next week, he's not going to be as good. Like the adrenaline's worn off, the magic, you know, now you're settled in. And I know you say he's got a week of practice, but again, he wasn't competing for the number one job.
Right.
Well, okay. Jeff and they're playing Atlanta.
Yeah. Jeff and I talked about this last night. He may not remember, but we did. And you may not that, you know, and I think James and I were talking about it too. Tampa prepared for Jameis. So when Jameis went out and you bring somebody else in, that's not somebody they've been studying all week. So there's a little bit of an unknown. Whereas Atlanta will have a week of film to watch and see. We were talking about earlier where Peyton's not going to really say who's going to be the starter. Why would he make Atlanta play, you know, you know, watch film on Taysom and Simeon, let them waste time looking at two quarterbacks, not knowing who we're going to start.
Oh, yeah. And it feels like Coach Peyton last night when asked in his press conference, he was pretty straightforward about if Taysom's healthy, Taysom's going to start. And then has he backtracked off of that? Or is it more of, like you said, Scott, like let's not tip your hand. We don't have to tell him who's starting. I mean, I think that Coach Peyton has got this obsession with Taysom pretty hardcore. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even though I don't agree with it necessarily, that Taysom is probably going to be the guy to start on Sunday, but there's no reason to tell anybody that till Thursday, Friday, whenever you have to.
Exactly. And that's 2 years in a row. You don't have to tell anybody on Thursday, Friday. It's
really,
not like a,
no, you don't really,
I mean, you
really
can designate to. Him, Taysom saying he's going to be active and he practiced, but there's really no need to say who the starter is going to be.
It's 2 years in a row. We're playing the Falcons and they don't know who our starting quarterback is going to be because last year, we played the Falcons the week after Breeze got injured and they didn't know whether it was going to be Jameis or Taysom that was going to start the game. The same thing's happened this year.
Yeah.
But I think you'll get the same result, and I think Taysom, if cleared, will start the game, although I would be tempted to start with Simeon personally.
I agree that should if you're going to start Simeon in a game, I mean, the best team to do it is against the shitty Falcons. I know they're a division rival. The game might be a little close, but they're not a good team. You might as well, if you're going to start them, see what you have. You're not going to start them against Tennessee, and you're not going to probably start them against the Eagles at Philadelphia.
Is it in Atlanta, this game? Was it?
No, it's home.
It's in the dome.
It's home. Well, that's another reason. I mean, play Simeon, see what you have. Now, you know, Peyton sees him in practice every day, so maybe he already knows what he has. So that's another thing, too. I don't know. It's probably going to be Taysom. I mean, if I was placing bets.
Every conversation leads back to who's
starting. I mean, if Taysom's healthy, it's going to be him. We could talk about the game.
6 degrees of right. Saints quarterback situation.
How good was it to have Mark Ingram back yesterday?
I loved it. I'm sorry. Like, I heard Wes's response.
Yeah.
And
he's the only one I think so.
Wes might make some good points, but I'm sorry. I love Mark Ingram. I don't care. You know what? I don't fault any player for trying to get paid and doing whatever they're doing at the
especially in the running back position.
Yeah.
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 I mean, the career life in a running back, it's so short. You've got to make the money where you can.
Yeah. We get pissed at these athletes when they put themselves first. Dude, the team would put the team first. The organization would put the organization first. 100%. It's a business. You got to do what you can.
That screenplay that Ingram had was just like awesome. I think that might have been his first touch of the game where that screenplay he ran.
Yeah, he had two receptions early on in the first quarter that he looked pretty good on. You know, it was funny because I joked yesterday that, like, I mean, having him back was obviously, I think, an intangible benefit, locker room benefit. And he showed up a tiny bit on the stat line too, in that he got some touches.
Yeah.
You know, and Houston did not do very well with him gone. I think he's great to have back. He, you know, for all the reasons that were said last night, I mean, he can pick up the blitz. He's a good pass blocker. You know, he's steady. He's a veteran. I mean, this is a great, great signing.
So, and hats off to Houston as well, to be fair, for letting us.
Yeah.
But the story
that's
that came
nice
out.
Of Houston. That's nice of Houston to let other teams, you know, try and win and them just be there to fucking.
But no, they did say, like, if it was any other team, they would have said no. But they know what the Saints and what Ingram means to this, what the Saints mean to Ingram. It was a classy gesture for that.
If Houston was over there in the UK, they'd be relegated.
they'd be like
the little team that plays out of Ben's village.
Hey, do not knock
Horsham. AFC Richmond,
Horsham, Jeff. It's Horsham.
Horsham. We had, I think it was a 4th-and-1 on the first drive that we had, and they ran Kamara. I was very surprised that Ingram wasn't in, because I mean that's kind of what you're having for. So. And I know this is going to come full circle to what we were just talking about in a second, but you, Jeff, if you want, this is my theory for the week. So if you want, this would be the
Mike Myers music.
Yes. So my theory, Gunn listed off all the things Ingram does well. He blocks well. He runs well in short yardage. He catches well out of the backfield, right? Those are all three things that Taysom Hill did well when he was not the starting quarterback. So you lose the Taysom advantage if he is starting quarterback, but now you have Ingram that can maybe fill that role if Taysom is the starter. Maybe he can. I don't know. Line him up. Let's go. You know? But we don't need another tight end. We got Garen Griffith catching the ball. Damn it. You know? So
on that point, Scott, you're lining up inside the 5-yard line, right? And you've got Taysom taking the snap, and you've got Ingram to the left, Kamara to the right.
Who's getting the ball?
What'd you defend?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like,
is Michael Thomas coming back next week too?
No, he's never going to play again.
Yeah. We're not going to see
Michael
Thomas.
I'm getting more people in my cult. Thank you, Scott.
We're probably not going to see Michael Thomas this year. I think he's done for the year. Personally.
He's with Zion. Him and Zion are practicing together right now.
2 years for an ankle sprain.
Yeah.
Don't mention Zion because it just gets me angry.
such a disappointment.
We don't want to put too much mileage on Michael Thomas before he goes to his next team.
We want to get good trade value for him.
He's gonna look great in the Texans uniform.
Hey, you can play Scott's conspiracy mirror music again here.
I could do X-Files for you because that makes more sense. It's on brand.
Right. CD broke Michael Thomas. Like, he's never been the same.
I heard you say this in taking you over.
CD broke since Michael Thomas. He's done.
My theory is,
now credit to the Saints. Credit to the Saints for not letting this really get out. Credit to the Saints that it takes a lunatic like me to put all this together, because the one thing that could tank his trade value is if it got out that he's just done.
You're talking like mentally broken.
I mean, he's mentally broken. I mean, I don't think he and CD can be in the same building.
Well, they're choosing CD.
Oh, hell yeah. They're choosing CD. CD's no bitch like Michael Thomas. Something happened, dude, but he's never coming back. I mean, he's just I hope I'm wrong, but he's not.
CD is becoming one of my favorite players on that defense.
Unbelievable.
Like, I saw somebody tweet to that you have to sign CD to a lifetime contract because you never want him going against your team because he will just get in their head. I mean, him and Fournette were had to be separated after the game on the field. That's just crazy. Fournette's not like a hot-headed guy either. After the game, even if you're heated during the game, after the game, everybody's usually like swapping jerseys, giving vibes, you know. I mean,
CD does not make friends.
You can't get flagged after the final whistle. That's why he's doing it. He knows he can't do it in the game now.
I think that even though the Bucks beat us in the playoffs last year, I think we are so far inside their head. This is going on to a bit of more game talk now. They were massively fired up last night and lost control on numerous occasions. Taunting penalties, roughing the passer, you know.
I was shocked that it felt like the refs were favoring the Saints for the first time in a very long time.
The Saints and Brady. Like, who would have thought the Saints refs would have been on our side?
But yeah. Do you see what I mean about the Bucks being like overly fired up yesterday? They seemed ready for a fight yesterday. And do you know what? This Saints team are not the team to do that against.
Nope.
It's defense. This defense, yeah. they hadn't come up against defense like that yet.
Did anyone see when PJ Williams got his pick six? Brady looked like he was going to run for it for a second, and he just saw DeMario Davis looking at him, and he just thought, "Nah, I'm not doing that. I ain't going up against DeMario again."
Somebody hasn't checked the group chat this afternoon, eh, Scott?
No.
Welcome to the party. He reposted that.
No, I did.
Oh, hang on. I have been working with it.
So have I.
I don't use my phone at work. So I come out and I send 100 messages. I'm going to sit there and go through all of them.
And you conveniently reference the last one.
Yeah.
The last one I saw, I didn't even see we're talking about the Book of Fet, but yeah, anyway.
Incriminations coming in 3, 2. Self-incrimination, no. All right, so refs, check. Oh, and speaking of those, Troy Aikman and the whole Saints fans wanting to banish him from the dome. I agree with the fact that like Troy Aikman was unapologetically biased yesterday, and even to the point where
he apologized once. He goes, "Hey, I'm about to suckle on Tampa Bay for a moment here." He actually like gave a precursor and then did it.
Which the guy makes it okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. If I tell you I'm going to kick you in the nuts before I kick you in the nuts, is it okay that I kick you in the nuts?
Yeah. Right. But like the one pass and the roughing where, who was it that had his helmet was off and then he hit the
Golston
quarterback after Golston, and they called the roughing and both Aikman and they were like, that should not have been called, and they were all upset about that. Let me tell you something. If that was Tom Brady that took a little push like that, or Aaron Rodgers that took a push like that, they would have been up in arms, and both those quarterbacks would have been on the referee's ass if they wouldn't have thrown the flag either. And I'm sorry, like that was also the intent was that was not, oh, I'm following through with a play. The play was over. He was done. He gave a push because he was pissed off that his helmet got ripped off. I'm sorry. That was 100% the right flag to throw.
Yep. The big one they got wrong was the fumble that they overturned, where Fournette fumbled it into the end zone. I mean, in that situation, they called it that it was a fumble recovered by the Saints. And in that situation, you have to have like irrefutable evidence that the call on the field was wrong. Clear and obvious that the call on the field was wrong.
And I watch so much football with stakes involved, right? When you put money on it, it's a little different. The things that you see, the mistakes, I'm using air quotes, that these officials make are confounding. There's no legitimate excuse for this other than keep these things close. I mean, you got to just follow the money. What makes the most sense? What makes the most financial sense for them to have games that are tight until, you know, all these games of the week, every of the big national broad, I mean, they're always tight to the end, and there's little things that officials can do to curate.
Right.
You
keep pulling it happened, back to center.
It happened on Thursday night, and I didn't even get to watch that game. And I saw this in the highlights of, like, you know, a ball's a half yard short in the 2 minute drill as the Cardinals are going down to try and win the game. And that one official just goes, nope, first down, starts signaling first down. There's going to be no measurement. There's going to be no, let's go. I mean, they're doing whatever they can to protect their financial interest. And that involves curating the officiating of these games in a certain
way. That's right. I believe it. There's your theory. Yeah. Anything to add?
Another one.
Nope. All right. All right, I'm ready to move into pick'ems if y'all have anything else.
Let's go.
Nope.
All right, let's get into pick'ems. It's time to play the game. Time to play the game. Scott, you want to take us through the games?
Yes, I can.
But first, you want me to give the records from last week?
Oh, yeah, do that. Please. First.
All right. So last week, Scott, you went 5-0. Good job to you, I guess.
Thank you.
Then followed by James, you went 4-1. Congratulations on that. Me and Jason both went 3-2. And Ben, Wes, and Uncle Baby Billy all ended up 2-3. So, Jake said, what about him? You went 4-1. That's why he wanted me to read his record. Andrew went 2-3. In the larger league, let's see. We got Scott. You are still in first place by one game over me.
Take it.
Then Allie Gibbs, who's actually tied with me. And Jake and Drew were all tied for second place with a 600 winning percentage. Then comes Big Easy Gajon, Trevor Bruno, Chris Farmer, Uncle Baby Billy, Mr. Coach Klein, Paul Perrette, Tom Ensign. Then we get to the 500 club, James, you, Wes, and Carp. And then the losers bracket, we have Sans Hobbs, the Mailman, Jambalaya Brothers, Ben, then Jason, then Neil. Yes. Then drummer.
Good. I'm not bottom. That's all that matters.
You feel good, man? You're beating the losers.
So what is Uncle Baby Billy's record at the moment? Just out of
Uncle
intro.
Baby Billy is 21-19.
Okay. Okay.
That's about right.
The 525 win percentage. All right, Scott, you ready?
It's a lot of people losing to a house cat.
It is.
He's in the upper half.
Yeah, oh, I know.
He's in the upper 50%.
All right. First game. First of all, let me give a shout out to Jason, who is not here, for giving us these spreads and odds and games.
Said he had something dumped on his lap at work, but didn't clarify
what that was. I'm just assuming it's like a stripper or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, a bit of simian.
There you go. first game, Chargers. 4-3 Chargers They lost this week to the Pats, 27-24. They are going to Philadelphia to face the 3-5 Eagles. Eagles are coming off a win. They defeated the Lions 44-6. It's a pretty big win, but it's the Lions, so what are you going to do? But despite their win and despite the Chargers' loss, the Chargers are favored by 2.5 points.
Have the Chargers lost anybody important?
No, they just got Jared Cook.
No, then I'll take the Chargers.
What do you have the spread at, Scott?
2.5. Chargers favored by 2.5.
That's probably the easiest pick of the week.
You reckon?
Mm-hmm.
Chargers have been playing bad last couple of games.
Classic Chargers, starting strong.
They're like, they had not the last couple of weeks, because last week they were on a bye, so you didn't see them do anything last week. But
exactly, didn't see them do anything.
I think West Coast team traveling to the East Coast. I'm gonna take the Eagles with that one at home.
I am with James on that. West Coast traveling east. That's the same thing I was gonna say. I am taking the Eagles.
I'm taking the Eagles as well.
Oh shit.
Okay. Right.
All right. In the Battle of Ohio, the 4-4 Cleveland Browns, coming off a close loss to the Steelers, 15-10, travel to Cincinnati, who's also coming off a loss to the Jets of all people, 34-31, probably the craziest game of the week this week that you can think of. Cincinnati is 5-3. Cleveland is traveling to Cincinnati, and the Bengals are favored by 3.
Joey B all day.
I'm taking Joey B as well.
So y'all both, Ben and Scott, are taking the Bengals?
Yes.
That Cleveland D-line is no joke, and the Bengals offensive line is not great.
Is a joke.
I'm going to take the Browns.
If it were up to me, I would take the Browns and the 3 points here, but I don't get to make my picks. The cat does, so cat we'll picks. See what he comes up with.
All right. I think Cincinnati wins a close game, but I'm going to take Cleveland to cover.
Okay. And our next game, the Green Bay Packers coming off.
I'll take the Packers.
24-21 win over the Cardinals. Go to Kansas City, who is 7-1. Kansas City plays tonight against the Giants. So they will have a short week. Green Bay at Kansas City. Kansas City is favored by 3.
Green Bay.
Green Bay. Oh, Jesus.
God.
Kansas are terrible on defense. They've gone full on Spags mode. Aaron Rodgers could put up 500 yards in this game.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to take Green Bay as well.
Yeah, give me a Green Bay.
This might be the first ever sweep in Pick'ems where I think every single person is gonna take Green Bay.
This is offensive that Green Bay is getting 3 points in this game. It's insane.
It's mental.
I don't even believe Scott. Hold on.
These are Jason gave me this line. I can't.
I don't trust y'all.
I think it's a bonus. It's a gimme. It's free money.
It's making Gunn choke. He's that appalled by that line.
I saw something here that made me have to get my
like a medicine spit take.
Out. I got my medicine out because I didn't trust this line. Let's see here. Y'all are crazy.
Now, Kansas City hasn't played tonight, so I'm sure that line's going to move.
Yeah.
Oh shit! It's KC minus 3, pretty much.
Yeah.
Some places 2.5, but mostly 3.
William Hill over here are doing it as
William Hill's Green Bay 3. Game 3. Yeah. Yeah.
I might have to lump a bit of money on that.
This one's
it's gonna move. I'd get it on fast.
That's Green Bay all day there.
Yeah.
Hold on.
This is sports gambling over here. I just put a tenner on it.
I'm doing the same thing right now.
If I had online gambling in Louisiana, I would. But
I can get you set up, Scott.
All right. Our next game, the Tennessee Titans coming off a win against the Colts, 34-31. They are 6-2, but they did lose Derrick Henry for 8 to 10 weeks. Going to the Rams. Rams are coming off a win over the Texans, 38-22. They are 7-1. The Rams, Tennessee at Rams. Rams are favored by 7.5 points.
A lot of points. No Derrick Henry.
And I got to think that's because of Derrick Henry. And the Rams did just get Von Miller. Yeah. Yes. And the Tennessee Titans did just sign Adrian Peterson as well.
You got to think that Von Miller is going to have a bigger impact on the game than Adrian Peterson, right?
Tennessee signed – they signed Adrian Peterson?
They did. Yeah. They worked him out and signed him today.
Yeah, but he's not going to have an impact. He's not like Mark Ingram.
No.
Rams have Von Miller.
For two later round draft picks.
I'm going to take the Rams.
I'm going to take Rams as well. I think me and you are identical, Scott.
That scared me. That's scary.
Man, I get the Rams, but Tennessee with 7.5 points, that is a lot of points to
ignore. There's a hook there, Jeff. That if it was just flat seven, that's one thing. But that 0.5, that hook on there is a big deal. Is a
no real Derrick Henry. Deal. No Derrick Henry. They're going to have to rely pretty much on Tannehill.
AJ Brown.
Is their passing game?
And AJ Brown's about it.
Julio Jones was out this week.
Their passing game has to be able to beat the best defense in the league.
Yeah,
Rams. The best defense in the league resides in New Orleans.
Boy, wouldn't it be cool if one of these amazing pass rushers for the Rams knocked Tannehill out, and then we got to play and we got to see in Nashville the Saints versus Tennessee without Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill?
That would be great.
That'd be awesome
for us.
So potentially you'd have Trevor Siemian against who quarterback for the Titans? Be
a marquee matchup. Their names wouldn't be the ones on the marquee.
I don't even know who they're.
It would be Kamara versus Julio Jones, J.J. Brown. Yeah. Or the Saints defense against A.J. Brown. So this is a really hard one because I want the points, but Tennessee's missing Derrick Henry, and that could completely destroy them. And the Rams,
I think that's why it's 7.5.
Matt Barkley.
Matt Barkley's their backup.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna take a risk and I'm gonna take the points.
Ooh.
Rams win the game. Tennessee covers.
Okay. Is that everybody? Yeah. All right. We are now moving on to our shitty game of the week.
Here we go.
Piece of shit card. And it is a very, very, very shitty game.
This should be a London game.
It should be a London
game. It's so shitty, it should be in London. Rams.
The Houston Texans, the 1-7 Houston Texans, coming off a loss to the Rams, traveled to Miami to face a Dolphins team that is also 1-7, coming off a loss to the Bills.
Miami.
And the Dolphins are favored at home by 7 points.
Ooh, okay. That changes
it. I thought you were going to say
7 points.
No, still going with Miami.
Yeah, same.
So, James, you're taking Miami?
I'm taking Miami.
Ben, you're taking Miami? Scott?
I'm thinking.
Tua doesn't want to lose to the Texans because that'll be him done.
I would suggest, Gunn, you're on mute. I would suggest that Tua is already done.
Gunn, you're on mute.
These are two teams that had a verbal agreement to trade Deshaun Watson, it sounds like, a couple weeks ago. Did y'all hear what happened? And then at part of Miami's ask was that Watson settle the 22 civil cases before he came over, and he had agreed to do that. And then Houston got wind of, wait, you mean to tell us you're willing to settle the 22 civil cases? And he said, yeah. And Houston said, well, the price just went up.
Yep.
So, for what it's worth.
Wow.
There may have never been a more sad matchup in the NFL
That's
than
horrible.
What's happening right now. Or
Jeff, what are you Sunday doing in Miami?
I'm taking the points. All Houston.
Right. You taking Houston? Wow.
Yep. It's two shitty teams. Take the points.
It's a good move.
Yeah, because you almost think that it might be a close game. I'm going to take the points.
All right.
Give me the Texans.
Oh, and you didn't know? Jason, you got that thing out of your lap?
Yes.
It can't have been a very big thing.
It was big enough.
Hey, it came in and did a job.
That's right.
Jason, did you make your picks yet? You want to run through your picks real quick?
All right, I can give them the
I have it written down.
Okay,
I have it written down. I will go with the Chargers. I will go with the Bengals. I will go with the Chiefs. I will go with the Rams, and I'll go with the Dolphins.
Don't tell them.
The Rams and who?
The Dolphins.
Yeah, and that's why he's in the bottom of pick'ems.
Yep, that's exactly why.
By a house cat.
Because he takes the Chiefs.
You're really taking the Chiefs.
Yeah, fuck Green Bay.
He's letting his heart get in the way.
I am.
There's a chance that my cat might accidentally take the Chiefs too, but that's completely by chance, and he only knows one word.
Wow. That's fine.
To recap, Chargers at Eagles. Chargers favored by 2.5. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored by 3. Green Bay at Kansas City. Kansas City favored by 3. Tennessee at the Rams. Rams favored by 7.5. And Texans at the Dolphins. Dolphins favored by 7 points. Get your pick'ems in, folks. Did we have everybody do it last week at Jeff? I know you're chasing down 2 people, but did everybody submit picks last week?
Yes. Another 100% week.
Woohoo.
Good job.
The thing that was on Jason's lap found Jeff's lap.
Apparently.
All right. Now let's do a very quick Saints preview. Where the Saints are taking on the Atlanta Falcons.
Where do we even start with this?
Wait, Jeff, you forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, it is officially Falcons Hate Week.
Oh, that's right. Fuck the Falcons, everybody.
Hey, fuck the Falcons.
They have become so meaningless and so bad that it's just like,
beating a dead cripple.
It feels like beating up on a handicapped person.
I was gonna say, can you hate a charity?
The Falcons almost doesn't, they're so sad and shitty and horrible that it almost doesn't feel good to just aggressively, it's like there's something wrong with them.
It's like the Saints have just done like a Make-A-Wish Foundation to allow the Falcons play football
for
a week.
You're supposed to raise money for people like the Falcons, not shit all over them.
Hey, they've got built a nice new special home for them.
The latest improbably shitty Falcons news, their young wide receiver is just like, yeah, I'm taking a mental health season. Thanks, bye.
Finally realized he was playing for the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, really, can you fault the guy? If I played for the Falcons, I'd probably do the same thing.
Well, look Lance Moore did. Went and trained there for 2 days. Was like, nah, fuck this. I'd rather retire.
I'm out. So the Falcons are 3-4. They've beaten the Giants, the Jets, and the Dolphins.
Oof.
Now, we did lose to the Giants, but...
That was our freak result of the season.
So, I mean, I guess the big question mark coming into the game is what we've been talking about the whole time is who's going to be starting. We got to assume it's Taysom. Look, if whoever starts, if they just manage the game, and this kind of goes for the rest of the season, they just have to not turn the ball over, get us at least in the field goal range, and we'll be okay. Like, touchdowns would be nice, but, like, we could kick 5 field goals and probably win a game.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely going to be more ball control. I know that's something the Saints have kind of done a lot this year. Just control the clock, let your defense do the work. We've got Ingram now, so we actually should be able to pound the rock and make some passing plays when you need to.
I'm still really, really good.
I want to jump back a second to Calvin Ridley. And Gunn, this kind of feeds your narrative about Michael Thomas being broken. Did you anybody see his tweet to Calvin Ridley?
Oh yeah, after like, Ridley announced, same, but like same.
He's team, like, I'm in the same with you, or
I'm in the same hole. I'm standing in the same hole with you.
Yep.
I did notice that.
If that doesn't tell you something, I really am starting to believe that there might, like, Michael Thomas may have a mental health issue along with his ankle issue.
Absolutely. They can't come out and tell you, like, that's the way these things get handled. It all comes out in the postscript.
If he's got a mental health issue, it's 21st century, man. Like, just be honest with it. People are now getting more worked up and hating on Michael Thomas because it thinks there's some bullshit going around. Just be,
which is only
going
to contribute to his mental health issue.
Exactly. Right? Like, if he just came out and said, look, I'm having some issues, be patient with me, kind of like Calvin really did. I mean,
cool.
You know,
absolutely. Crack on, Michael Thomas, then.
But if you think, if it's, you know, if you keep thinking it's his ankle and that he's not coming back because of that, then that's another story, you know.
But I think Michael Thomas's issue, he's an insufferable asshole.
They can have mental health issues as well.
Right, but he's still an insufferable asshole. Like, I have mental health issues. We're all a little bit crazy. I'm probably the most mentally ill person here. But it doesn't give me a license to go be an asshole in any other walk of my life. And it can be argued that Michael Thomas does some pretty asshole-ish things in or outside of being mentally ill. You don't not get the fucking surgery because of mental illness. That's assholery. There's no reason not to have done that. That was a calculated maneuver and not a very...
Well, if you listen to Keyshawn Johnson, that's not the real story.
Oh, okay, Keyshawn, we're waiting to hear the fucking real... Then what is the real story, Keyshawn? What, are y'all saving that? You gonna make a movie? You selling it to Netflix?
Anyway, back to the game. Collection. Back to the game.
I don't get to go kick you in the nuts and then go, hey, man, I'm sorry, I'm mentally ill.
No, as you've proven with the Troy Aikman, you have to tell me first.
But I can't even tell you first, kick you in the nuts, and then tell you afterwards that I'm mentally ill. I still kicked you in the nuts.
Right. Either way, it's wrong. All right. So the game now, the question is this going to be a shutout? Is the defense going to completely shut out the Falcons because they don't have Calvin Ridley now? I mean, the only threat that they have is Kyle Pitts on offense.
The Saints are going to win 28-3.
Oh, wow.
That's
not a bad awesome score prediction, to be honest with you.
That
I think awesome. I just saw some simian in my pants.
So, you know, part of me thinks that, like, it could be a close game because it's a division rival. But then I just think about the suckiness of the Falcons, and I just realize that it really can't be that close of a game. Like, if whoever's the quarterback can get the ball to Kamara, you know, and we can run the ball and get Kamara in space, it could be another, you know, big Kamara game, I think. And I really see it being a blowout, like 35-0.
Wow.
I would say, because we are missing Jameis, we're going to not score as many points. So I will say 28. And as much as I'd like that shutout, I like the 3. I'm going to jump on board with Ben, 28-3.
Saints are going to win 34-10. And the touchdown for the Falcons will come in garbage time when we're playing soft third string defense.
Who covers Kyle Pitts in this game?
You put Lattimore on him.
CeeDee?
Might as well.
No, you put he's their receiver. Only he's their only main receiving threat. You put Lattimore on him.
They got shown this week how you shut him down. They bracketed a safety on him, and it was dunzo for Pitts this week.
Did you see like Matt Ryan's hand like bleeding all over the place?
Yeah, he got stepped on. That's the other thing too, is we're gonna sack the shit out of Matt Ryan.
Their offensive line is it was his offhand. Damn. Their offensive line is hot garbage, and Cam Jordan, well, he just sacks Matt Ryan for fun, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Cam had a sack, another sack this week, which shows the brilliance of Davenport again. So back-to-back sacks, you know, per week with Cam, he's going to rack them up this week.
Are you saying that Cam Jordan has back-to-back stack sacks?
Yes. Didn't I make a bold prediction about Cam Jordan and sacks? I'm almost sure I did.
Was it that he's going to get three sacks?
No, I think I said that he was going to lead the team in sacks or something. I don't remember. I said something about sacks with Cam Jordan.
You said that Cam Jordan will lead the team in sacks.
Boom. He's already got two, baby. We're going to rack some up all against the Falcons.
I believe that the final score this week is going to be New Orleans Saints 16, Atlanta Falcons 3. You have two touchdowns, one missed extra point, and one successfully converted field goal. And then our defense will otherwise pitch a shutout, but they're going to get some kind of bullshit little field goal in there. 16-3.
Mark Ingram breaks Deuce's record this week. 66 yards to go.
Oh, against the Falcons as well.
I think Sean Payton's going to get Ingram the record in the dome against the Falcons, and he'll break Deuce's record. Yeah, because
the next two games are road games, right?
They are.
Yeah, that could be.
Sean likes to do that, and Mark deserves it.
Or he'll hold them out in the Titans and the Eagles game so he doesn't hit it.
Right.
And wait till they get back home.
Anybody have
either
a bold
do it this game
Mark
or
Ingram?
I'm pulling you the next two.
Who? What if somebody would have had that bold prediction? Mark Ingram this year will have before the season started.
Even if I would have had it, James would have stole it before I could say.
No.
Right.
No. Don't know what you're talking about. Don't do that anymore. Not to you, anyway.
Not to me. It's moved on to Wes.
It has, yeah.
So it's funny, we did the whole game recap. We just talked about Cam Jordan, which obviously he's getting his sacks because Marcus Davenport is back. But we didn't even talk about Onyemata and his influence on the back. So
Dave.
We had, what was it? They have three sacks. Mm-hmm. And he had the scoop too, the fumble pickup, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So how awesome is it that Davenport was the one who caused the fumble and Onyemata got in there and picked it up. Dude, these two guys, that's the Ingram and Kamara of the defense.
And we get Peyton Turner back soon.
Well, do
I mean,
who?
Yeah.
It's like you got Onyemata and Cam and Davenport. Well, you got Onyemata and Davenport on the line. Then you got Kwon and DeMario at linebacker. And then you got CeeDee and Lattimore as your cornerbacks. Like,
you got guys. Rookies in all three phases who all three are showing promise.
Yep. Like I said, we're the Denver Broncos when Peyton Manning his last season, like when they went to the Super Bowl. All we got to do
we've
is
been saying that, we've been saying that the last couple of years.
And then Trevor Siemian quarterbacked that team to like 7-9 the next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
No but way. They won a Super Bowl that year
when they had not Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, well, and hey, Taysom could be as good as Peyton was at the end of that season. Peyton was, I mean, in a wheelchair.
Peyton was not nearly as handsome in a swimsuit near the end of that season as Taysom is now.
You just gotta keep to the short and medium passes. Don't try.
Can we have an eye check on Gunn, please?
Bro, when y'all hit me with that Green Bay +3 earlier, I got a little excited and things got, you know, things kind of went off the rails.
Instead of a checkpoint, it's an eye point. an eye checkpoint.
All right. Any final thoughts, anybody?
Get well, Jameis.
Jameis, if you have some time, let's hang out. I'd like to show you around.
All right. Then if nobody else has any final thoughts, I will say that's all the show we have for you right now. Gonna thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week, telling all your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-point conversion instant reaction show that apparently from yesterday's experience does not actually talk about the game. The Dome Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tigers Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prim. Follow us on Facebook, search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to participate in game day chat with all your favorite Dome Patrol Podcast family members, DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, we still have Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Jameis donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
In my cells, that's my celly. Made in the image of God, that's a selfie. Pray 5 times a day, so many felonies. Who gon' post my bail? Lord, help me. Hold up, Donda, I'm with your baby when I touch back road. Told him stop all of that red cap, we going home. Not me with all of these sins, casting stones. This might be the return of the throne. Throne, Hova, and Jesus, like Moses and Jesus. You're not in control of my thesis. You already know what I think by think pieces. For you actually already told you who you think he is. Don't try to jail my thoughts and think pre-sins. I can't be controlled with programming presets. Reset on my cell, in my cell at night. Don't have to see you to touch you. This is what Braille look like. It's on sight. If they take me to jail, call my girl, tell her, send my mail. We know what hell look like. Still, it's a hell of a life. Yikes. Go!